Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Can you hear the great power of these words? Can you hear how this proclamation from the 118th Psalm seems to ring out down through the ages like a clear bell? Open to me the gates of righteousness. The biblical scholar Robert Alter has called the Book of Psalms the hymn book of the Jewish people. And indeed, even after putting up with translation after translation, the Psalms reach out and grab us with undiminished power, because they're not just words, they are songs. They're not just songs, they are prayers. They're not just prayers, they are hopes, fears, longings, desperate cries for help, laments, and even demands. Have you ever heard of a prayer spoken as a demand? We do not speak to God in the language of demands. We speak to God with the language of humility. Prayer, as I have said before from this pulpit, is the language of humility. But can we also speak to God through the language of demand? This psalm seems to give us this license. Psalm 118 does not say, "Dear God, if I promise to be good, would you do me a favor and please open to me the gates of righteousness?" The psalmist does not tiptoe through the tulips. The psalmist does not beat around the bush. This is not the language of please and thank you. This is the language of strength. It's strong language. The Psalms are clear. They're like a trumpet. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness. In today's Poetry Corner, there is a poem by Carl Sandburg entitled Doors. Sandburg reminds us that there are two kinds of doors, and these two kinds of doors say two different things. Carl Sandburg's poem says, "An open door says, 'Come in.' A shut door says, 'Who are you?'" Sandburg's poem is not like a psalm. The poem is not making a giant proclamation about salvation and the universe. It's doing something more humble than that. It's making an observation about human life. We have doors. Yes, we do. We have doors. And each door asks a question. The question of the door. Should we open the door? Or should we close the door? Open or closed? That is the question of the door. When we shut the door, we ask the person outside, "Who are you?" If we leave the door open, we tell the person on the other side, "Come in." The open door says, "I trust you." The closed door says, "I'm not sure about you." What should we do? Should we trust people and leave our doors open? Or should we be safe and shut our doors? And God? What does God do? Does God open the gates of righteousness, or does God close the gates of righteousness? The human answer to this question, the question of the door, is It depends. We answer the question of the door with a tool that says, it depends. The it depends tool is called a lock. Sometimes we leave the door open, and sometimes we close it and lock it. This is because sometimes we know enough about the people on the other side of the door to trust them. Come in, we say. But most of the time, we simply don't know enough about the people who might come to the door. So we ask, who are you? It's hard to trust you because I don't know you. How can I trust you if I don't know you? There's an old Sufi saying, Sufism is a sect of Islam that seeks God through mystical experience. And the saying goes like this. It goes, trust in God, but tie up your camel. Trust in God, but tie up your camel. That's all it says. But it says it all, doesn't it? This is the human experience of the question of the door. We trust that there is an ultimate goodness in the universe, but we're not fools. We praise God for making camels, but we know that camels wander away or are stolen. That's just the way things are. But what about God? What is God's answer to the question of the door? When you use the powerful words of the psalmist and proclaim, open to me the gates of righteousness, what should God do? Should God say, come in? Or should God look at us suspiciously and say, who are you? Now, if we take the traditional view of things and we think of God as all-knowing and all-powerful and entirely good, we see immediately that God's answer to this question of the door is likely to be different from our own. If God is all-knowing, then unlike us, God knows everything there is to know about the person who is on the other side of the door. God does not have to wonder about the person's motives because God knows. The all-powerful part means that God is more powerful than the person on the other side of the door, so this, of course, means that God has nothing to fear from the person on the other side of the door. The all-good part means that God will want to throw the door open, will want to throw open the gates of righteousness rather than bar them, because barring the gates would mean keeping some people away from God, and that surely is not as good as being with God. Knowing all, God is not suspicious as we are. All powerful, God has no need to fear. Being entirely good, God wants us to come in. If we follow this traditional view of God, it seems that God would at least be at liberty to leave the door wide open at all times. But is this our experience of what God does? There are many schools of thought on this question. Every religion, including Christianity, has within it a powerful us and them tendency that essentially says, we are saved and they are damned. Ultra-conservative Wahhabi Muslims of Saudi Arabia, for example, believe that they alone have the correct understanding of the Quran, and that not only people of other religions, but even other Muslims are all going to perish in hell for eternity. But we don't need to go so far afield to find this tendency. The Puritans, who were the forebearers of us here in the Congregational Church, believed in a strict form of Calvinist theology that stated quite bluntly that God chose an elect group of people who were predestined to be saved and everyone else was lost. And naturally, we are the elect, right? How convenient. Religion has a troubling relationship with the question of the door. A moment ago, it seemed quite reasonable to think that God would just fling open the doors of righteousness and welcome us all without suspicion or fear. But institutional religion seems to take a much harder line on the question of the door. Religions often turn God into a kind of stern, embittered figure who only opens the door a crack to admit in certain proper people. Salvation becomes kind of like a club, a place reserved for those who have the right secret knock or handshake. But is this really our God? Really? Is God really that petty? Your interpretation is not quite correct, so you can't come into the gates of righteousness. You love the wrong kind of person. You listen to the wrong kind of music. You pray the wrong kind of prayers. So tough luck. I don't think so. And here's why. Consider the story of the palms on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday celebrates Jesus' return to Jerusalem. This is a fascinating story, and it has embedded within it the problem of the door. Jesus is welcomed by the people of Jerusalem, who wave palm leaves and sing hosannas. This all seems pretty promising. Jesus comes to the door, and the door is opened. But Jesus is not just another person coming to a door. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as God. And how do we know this? Well, there's the thing about the donkey, right? He knows that that donkey is over there, but he can't see the donkey, and there's no iPhone to tell him that there's a donkey there. So he knows what's going to happen before it happens. We know this because of the donkey. When Jesus returns to Jerusalem, he knows about the donkey because he knows what is going to happen before it happens. And the Bible explains this in one of two ways. He's either a prophet or he is the Messiah. And since Jesus knows what will happen before it happens, he, of course, knows what it means to return to Jerusalem. No one else knows, but he knows what lies in store. He knows about the betrayal. He knows about the arrest. He knows about the denial, about the conviction and the flogging. No one else knows, but he knows. He knows about the crucifixion. This story flips the problem of the door. In this story, we are not at the door. God is at the door. We open the door, and God comes in. God comes in even though God knows what's going to happen. At first, there are palms, but the door that God has walked through is the door of human frailty. The door that God has walked through is the door of human brokenness. This is the door that leads to a horrible violence. There is plenty of reason for God to be suspicious, but God walks in anyway. Vulnerability walks in. Love walks in. Open to me the gates of righteousness. The Psalms are clear, hymn-like. They ring across the centuries. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Not long ago, in one of the governance meetings here at the United Church of Jaffrey, a question came up. Should we lock the doors to the sanctuary? Currently, the doors to the sanctuary are unlocked at all times, 24/7, 365 days. So anytime, day or night, that anybody wants to come into this sanctuary, they can. But is this a sound policy? Aren't we asking to be robbed? Are homeless people going to sleep in our pews? These are good questions. Trust in God, but tie up your camel. Believe in goodness, but don't let the world play you for a fool. The governance committee considered the question, and they sat for a moment in silence, and then someone, I can't remember who it was, told a story. They said that there was once a person in this town who was feeling suicidal, and that person tried to go into a church, but the churches were locked, and eventually that person found our church, and our church doors were open. Today in Jaffrey, we throw open the doors of vulnerability. We throw open the doors of love. Not because we are foolish, but because we follow the example of Christ, who was willing to sacrifice all for love. Today in Jaffrey, we do not say, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." We say, "Open to all the gates of righteousness." Amen.